star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Boom, boom, boom. Chicka-chicka. That was what I thought of for my 80s soundtrack.
That's
intro.
Good stuff. Boom, boom. Take my breath away.
Now, this is wild because I'm what you call a 90s kid.
That's right.
I was born in 1990, the year of our Lord, but we have a guest who came on. Want to talk about 80s soundtracks. One of our good friends. Give it up for Jonah Jerkins.
Give it up for him in your home.
They clap at home.
Are we waiting for the clap? Okay. Yeah, okay.
Let them clap. Jonah's in town in beautiful New York City. How's your trip to New York been so far, Jonah?
It's been gorgeous. It's been amazing. It's been raining the whole time, and I've been drunk for about 5 days straight. So it's been I think I'm currently very drunk right now. But
you know what's funny is when I moved to New York, everybody was like, you know, people in New York don't drink as much, because we know Jonah from the Chicago comedy scene where people are famously booze bags. And I remember moving here and people were like, people don't really drink as much in New York as they do in Chicago. And I was looking around, I was like, everybody here seems to be hammered. And then somebody pointed out to me, those are all Chicago comedians. They're all transplants. And this week we've had a Chicago takeover, and it has really thrown all of our lives into a spiral. I cut my hand really bad after hanging out with a bunch of you. I was trying to kill myself, and no, I'm just kidding.
Again? Why would you do it again?
No, but it's been a wild little weekend. I'm cooling off a little bit for a bit, but it's all
good. I still have like 2 more days left before I go back, so I have a lot more to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's been the highlight of your trip so far?
I've just seen you boys, you know? I'm so happy to be here. Yeah.
It was fun. I didn't realize, because our friend Joe Kilgallen was recording a special at the Gutter this past week, and I lost track of those dates, and I didn't realize it was going to become like a Chicago takeover.
It's
and
crazy. So, there's like 12 of us up here, I think.
Yeah. We were sitting at the Gutter, and all of a sudden I see like one after another, all these friendly faces pop in that I haven't seen in forever, and I was like, ah, like it was just the best. And then it turned into the worst.
Yeah.
A lot of shots going around, and a wild little time. But, you know, my hand is going to be just fine. Don't even worry.
Take
about
advice
it
from our friend Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Your hands are small, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They're not mine. They are your own.
That is a good point. And also,
you pull that right now? Yeah. What's wrong with you? How did you do that?
I did not take advice from our good friend, is it Sheryl Crow or Alanis Morissette? I should have kept both hands in my pocket.
That's true.
I had one hand in my pocket, and the other one is bleeding profusely.
So you were going up the stairs, and you kind of slipped?
Uh-huh, and I just
landed. You just grabbed on
my,
a knife?
I was holding a knife, holding in one hand. And
just cliffhanger in it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I just tripped in a way that I landed on my knuckle, and then it busted open. Then I had to wake my wife up and say, no, no, no. There is a lot of blood.
Tom's been, he's turned into sort of a Son of Sam type, but they call him the son of I don't have a dad.
Yes. Yes. The bastard of Sam.
He's been going around doing subway killings, but other than that, things are good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're back at it.
Yeah.
It's always interesting, like, waking up and being like, okay, my knuckle is fucked up. What did I do? Yeah. Like, just trying to figure.
Oh, this one I knew, because it shocked me awake. I was like, oh, no. But and if you're on the Patreon, I will send you all the evidence of my mini crimes. That's a new tier.
I got woken up once. Well, I used to date a nurse that was like third shift, and so she would come home like at 7 a.m. after her shift, and she would come home to me like fucked up from the night before. And one time she's like, do you have a black eye? And I looked at my mirror. I've never been punched before. I looked in the mirror, and I'm like, oh yeah, I got punched last night. Like, I kind of forgot about it, where I was like, oh yeah, I got punched. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And that relationship didn't work out?
No, it didn't work out. I don't know why. She switched to day shift, and she was like, this is kind of hard. And I was like, let me live my art.
So funny to like have a lady who's coming home after a night of like saving lives and stuff, and you have the same schedule.
Yeah, same schedule.
You're doing the worst shit.
Yeah, but like you have to explain your blackout as working. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll get more gigs hanging out with people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
She comes on, we start banging the pots and pans for her. Great job, honey.
I'm so proud of you.
So were you big, like, I don't know what year you were born. I know a lady never tells. 83. Okay. Yeah. So
I'm an old bitch.
Were you raised like all 80s movies? Was that?
Yeah, so I grew up like, I was obsessed with movies. You guys know this. I have like
yes, I forgot about
3,000 DVDs.
I completely forgot.
Huge DVD
yes.
collection.
Yeah. So I have a lot, and like that, like the late like 80s was like my sweet spot. Like I saw my first movie. I was thinking about this the other day. The first movie I saw, first rated R movie I saw, was RoboCop in the theater, and I was four.
My mom,
three or four. My mom, because she thought it was like a kids' movie, because it was like about a robot,
like a, kind of a Paw Patrol.
But yeah. And then she saw it was rated NC-17.
What?
Yeah. So they cut it down to an R rating.
Yeah.
To release it, and then now the release that you have is NC-17. It's just for gore and violence. It's insane how much it's comic. How much violence is there? And I was in the theater. My mom like was watching. She's like, "Oh my god, this is terrible! I should take him." And then she looked at me, and I had a big smile on my face. And I was like, yeah, time of my life.
That does remind me of when I was four. My mom went to take me to see A Night in Paris, and it came to the theaters in my hometown.
Yeah, I saw RoboCop, and I saw 9.5 weeks after that. Yeah, it was just me and my mom. Yeah, I was holding hands, watching 9.5 weeks.
No, that is funny when you're just shown something too early. I was telling somebody this. Oh, I was on Douglas Movies this week, and I said, you know, because people ask about what horror movies is okay to watch with your kids, and I was like, definitely don't. I was four when I saw Chucky, like the Child's Play the first time, and It in the same year. Mm. And those are movies that are specifically like children horror.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
The protagonist is a child who's dealing with a killer doll, a problem only children have. Like,
yeah.
It's so fucking scary. And also, it's like the one time in your life that you're around like dolls a lot.
Yeah.
So,
there's an 80s slasher film. I think it's called Children at Play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how like the kids in the town go crazy. It's kind of like children of the farm a little bit. So the children go crazy, and the end scene is all the parents murdering their kids.
Oh my god.
And there's a scene where a parent puts a gun in a kid's mouth and blows his back of his brains out.
Oh my god.
And then another one takes like a pitchfork and like stabs it through another kid, you know? It's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
That was a Spielberg movie.
Spielberg movie, yeah.
That actually sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Yeah, it's produced by Spielberg. Yeah.
That's a good horror film for old people to watch. Yeah, like, yeah, fuck these kids.
Yeah.
I do like the rationale of seeing Chucky and being like, look, he's the same size as you.
Yeah. You're going to love this shit. And then It, same thing. Like, kids have to deal with clowns. Nobody, as an adult, how often do you see a clown? Yeah. I mean, in our line of work.
All the time.
I got clowns to the left of me.
I'm in front of two clowns right now, you
what
bitches.
The fuck?
What the fuck?
Here's the two places you see a lot of clowns, is when you're a comedian or if you're in fucking Washington, D.C.
Oh.
If you ever go to the old White House, you better not have just seen It, or else you're going to be scared shitless. Biden should just be holding a bunch of balloons all the time.
Would you be surprised if he did do that? If you just saw him holding balloons?
No, I wouldn't. There's nothing that man could do that wouldn't surprise me.
Oh my god!
Except for have good policy, I'm just kidding. Lower the price of gas.
Did
I hope people
see
know
the
I'm
Elton
kidding.
John thing with Biden?
No,
what's
the funniest thing in the world? I have to play it really quick. Here, talk amongst yourselves. Biden said the most because this is music related, so I can talk about it in the podcast.
Yeah,
but
there
was a Biden interview because Elton John played like the lawn of the White House,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of a historic thing.
That's sick, dude.
He was supposed to. He like refused to do it during the Trump administration.
Yeah,
so it was like a big deal. But Biden
did
said
he play in front of all those like people who are protesting out there? Because that's always really stressful when you go to. Have you been to DC, Jonah?
No.
Probably all those. You're afraid of all those clowns.
Yeah, they scare me.
But but yeah, if you go to the White House,
I was there
House,
once
like,
in 20 6th.
Yeah, January 6th. Yeah, yeah. God damn it. That has become the easiest line. If you're doing stand up and doing crowd work, it is a guaranteed laugh.
I know.
If you accuse somebody of being a January 6th.
Have you ever accused anybody of it and they've been like, oh yeah.
I have not. Okay. But I'm waiting for the day. Someday. Usually only cool people come to my shows. They
it's true.
People who like get it, you know.
Is that why when I bought a ticket to your show I was disallowed to come?
That's true. Yeah, okay. They make you pass a test of character and intelligence, okay. And you know.
So this is what Biden said after Elton John performed. It's one of the hardest times I've laughed all year.
He said it's all his fault.
It's all his fault that we're spending $6 million of taxpayer money to fight AIDS.
What is wrong with him?
I could not believe that clip.
That
every word
so
choice
funny.
Is so fucking
it's
funny.
All his fault.
And then he points out that it's taxpayer money. Like that it's like trying to get people mad at Elton John. Yeah.
That is so fucking funny. I don't know how I didn't see that. That's so good.
Yeah, it's, someone put it in our group chat. It was making me laugh. But
it's all his fault.
It's like adorable.
It's like the cutest and you know thing. He means it in a good way,
of course,
but he can't.
Yeah, he's like smiling. And he's like,
yeah. Like doesn't even realize what he's saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my god, that is so good.
I like the idea of him being like nervous because he's like introducing Elton John.
Yeah,
you know, or he's just like he's like a big John head or whatever.
That is so fucking funny. Oh my god.
But yeah, so when I think of 80s movie soundtracks, I think of like John Hughes movies because those are like the 80s movies I watch, like 80s comedies. Like I would never consider the 80s movies like my thing, but I definitely know when I think 80s movie soundtrack, there's a specific type of song I'm thinking of.
What is that?
I mean, this isn't John Hughes, but I'm thinking of stuff like Highway to the Danger Zone and Footloose.
Yeah,
sure. And just these big, giant pop songs.
It's just incredible. Yeah. Like, that was the time when, like, the soundtracks, some of the soundtracks in the 80s are one of the best-selling albums of all time.
Yeah.
Which is, like, incredible. And then, which is interesting, too, which is we've walked away from, is that, like, then you had artists that made songs specifically for the movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. And then, so I was kind of putting together this list. It's like there's the songs everybody knows that, like, you know, like the St. Elmo's Fire song.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. Right.
The
which was like a different song.
Me.
And then, yeah, then he just added that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He's just like, I guess you use it. And there's so many songs. But then also, there's these really shitty action movies that have these like really fun, awesome, like banger songs, which is like crazy. Like I wanted to put the it wasn't on Spotify, but like I don't know if you ever listened to like the Kumite song by John Parr for Bloodsport. It's fucking amazing. It's just like I just been jamming to that thing all day long. But unfortunately,
Kumite.
It's like Fight to Survive.
Okay.
John Parr.
I'm gonna see if I can find it.
It's incredible. And I grew up on these movies. I grew up on like 80s action movies. Are like that's like what I grew up on, and I would watch all like over and over and over again. So like I mean like I grew up on 80s action films so much that for Dare, do you remember when you had Dare program and they're like, hey, you know, if you write famous people, they sometimes they'll show up to your graduation. I wrote Jean-Claude Van Damme a letter to show up to my Dare. Do you imagine how coked out he would have been like to show up? I'm here for to fuck your mom. You probably would have said my mom. I would have been so proud.
I found the song, so let me put it on here. Fight to Survive. Oh, wait, this is by Stan Bush.
Stan Bush, I'm sorry,
okay,
Stan Bush.
Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Excuse me.
Oh, fuck me. God damn it. I actually went backwards. Hold on. I'm trying to skip forward here.
How could you not listen to that every single day? And then it's, what's crazy too is I was kind of telling you as this previous podcast where it's like off previous podcast and the previous podcast, the podcast we did before this one, where like it was to a point where even stars had to be part of the soundtrack. So like the Dragnet soundtrack, mm-hmm. You had Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd did a rap song because the rap was like new and big.
Yeah.
And so they did a whole music video, and it's insane that you have an Academy Award winning actor, the greatest actor of our generation, one of them, is just sitting there having to do a rap song to promote a movie, is like, it's insane. And then
now Chet Hayes makes way more sense, actually. Maybe he saw this and he was like, I got to rap like my dad.
Yeah,
Colin's got the acting.
I'll do because it's in my blood.
I want to point out on that last video, it said on the this is like a very 80s. Like old man YouTube video because it says like extended studio cut in parentheses very rare. it's a YouTube video, man.
Yeah.
Like it's not like I discovered this like vinyl that's super rare.
Right.
It's a YouTube video. It can't be rare.
Can you find that Tom Hanks?
I've got it pulled up now.
Okay,
yeah.
You got it. All right. Tom, so you've never seen this?
Yeah. All right. So this is Dragnet music video, City of Crime.
Yeah.
City of Crime.
They dance to it. Tommy, right. They dance to it. It's amazing.
Let's see what we got here. Happened to witness a pagan ritual in progress. See that streamer? We're just in time. We have stumbled into a major crime. They got the girl off. Now that's not nice. I think she is the subject of a sacrifice. Oh my god. This party on ice. But don't you know we really ought to read them their rights. Read them their rights. Read him the right. Well, I'm here tonight to rap about your rights. Because right now you're in trouble. You don't have to say nothing at all. Y'all got two calls and you better make them all the devil. It's amazing.
Everyone needs to look this up.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to watch this. The dance is nuts.
Right. How that isn't biting him in his ass right now is crazy to me.
I think it just goes to show how untouchable Tom Hanks is.
Oh, untouchable.
Like, first he brings COVID to the United States.
It's his fault.
It's his fault.
Isn't that kind of fun? Because I think all three of us had it, yeah?
I had it last year, yeah.
But
yeah,
so we're all kind of part of Tom Hanks. That's kind of cool.
That's true.
Yeah. We're all kind of part of him.
Yeah. I did get it directly from him.
You making it on Tom Hanks again?
Yeah, remember that Fight Club in the Bronx?
That's just crazy.
80s, yeah, maximalist shit where it's just like just totally zero irony, just mm-hmm. like as right. big as you could possibly go, yeah. go 10 times bigger. Like mm-hmm. it's just, yeah, it's so funny.
Fully incredible.
It's also amazing too, some of these really like these action films to like the movie will end and then all of a sudden it's like a love palette that's like specifically written for the movie and you're like, okay, I guess this is incredible.
Yeah. People have to find that video. That is well worth the find. It's Dragnet music videos. I just looked up Dragnet rap, and I found it immediately. And yeah. It is
parentheses available. No way.
Very rare. Exclusive to Stand By Your Band.
It just
actually,
says,
I'm
how
gonna
did
get
you
it
find
removed.
This, Tom?
It has 630,000 views and only 4,000
likes. Can I
tell
you something? 500 of that is me. It's insane.
Oh my god. Wait. This must have been back when they had thumbs down because somebody said 59 people don't know what it's like to live in a time when it was possible to do silly and unusual things with a straight face. I'm continually shocked that so many people look at something like this and they think they were intentionally trying to create something hard. America has lost its sense of whimsy, of experimentation, of fusion, of play.
I love the protester with the bring back whimsy sign. Like, that's our main problem.
I actually disagree. I think this is the hardest shit I've ever seen in my life. You're in trouble.
It'd be crazy if they were like opening up for Run DMC in the 80s. Just that song.
That is beautiful. Great find. Right off the bat, two bangers here.
Two bangers. They're all bangers. That's what I'm telling you. The 80s is all bangers. Like it's, I don't know why I hate that movies shied away from that. That's crazy.
It is. Yeah, you don't really see a lot of movies like where the soundtrack is the thing. I think the last one that I feel like that about is maybe Juno or something. Like the last one where
like
the
Bad
soundtrack
Boys 2.
Was like a
Bad
big
Boys
thing.
2 is huge because that one was hip hop. So like in the like early aughts, late 90s, it was like like Romeo Must Die was like a big one, and then like Bad Boys 2 was huge. I feel like that was the last one I ever got.
Garden
like,
State is a big one.
Yeah.
That was like kind of the whole point of that movie.
But was the last, like, I would say Bad Boys 2 is the last one where they like made songs for the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Did they do one for Bad Boys 3?
I wish they did. Have you seen that?
I saw it in the theater, but I don't remember. Yeah. It's the same thing that happened with TV shows where they used to have like crazy, funny opening songs that lasted like a full minute. And
Oh, I know.
And now it's just like a cool sting of like minimalist music, right. Like the title card. You do kind of lose a lot of fun with that.
Maybe you miss those.
Maybe
intros.
Drive. I've heard the Drive. Oh, the Drive
soundtrack was
incredible.
That was a good one. Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen the film.
Well, I mean, it's like Lady Gaga did a song for the new Top Gun, and I was like, ooh, it's coming back.
But like,
that's what made me think about this.
But that's because of the 80s thing. Like, that was it's an homage. It's it's only because if it was an original movie, they would have done that.
Original movie? That's an oxymoron these days.
Thank you. Oh my God, maybe they could make Thor Top Gun. It would be the perfect film. Scorsese's gonna blow his fucking brains out, and it's gonna be your fault, America.
But I think since we have so much, like, there's no way to pin down a certain list. So I think you sent us too many songs. As many people often do.
Yes. Well, is that a problem? I had a list of 30 that I cut down to seven.
We did ask for four.
You asked for four. I got it down to seven, and then I was trying to cut it down on the Uber ride over, but then my battery was dying, and also my heart was dying because I didn't want to cut any of these songs away.
I understand.
But I made my poor girlfriend listen to them last night. I'm like, which ones do I need to cut? She's like, these are all bangers. I was like, you fucking ain't right there. Yep.
And she was born in 04, so.
Yeah, she was born in 04.
That's right.
And I was like, I'll sneak you into the bar. Don't worry.
Yeah, August 04, 2018.
I think it's in the spirit of 80s soundtracks that we'll talk about too many songs and go to the Peanut Gallery because we're not going to have time to cover every 80s soundtrack.
Right.
But I think we should just play a bunch.
The Peanut Gallery.
And the Peanut Gallery is going to have a bunch. So let's just listen to a bunch of songs.
Yeah, because like, you guys want to go into the. Because you ever see Streets of Fire?
I have not.
Okay, this is it. Like, this is like, it's directed by Walter Hill. It's a. Who did like The Warriors?
Oh, hell yeah.
So that's a new movie that just came out. His first in many years.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Which one's that?
It's some like low budget Western. I was just reading about it. But it's like.
So he did he did like a musical, like Fable, and it's like with. Who the fuck? Who played? Oh, God damn it. Now I'm forgetting his name. Willem Dafoe's in it. He's like young. Rick Moranis is in it.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's insane.
They got him back to normal size?
Yeah, they did.
A lot of people don't talk about like. You know, like Christian Bale had to like lose a bunch of weight and gain a bunch of weight to play these parts. My man Rick Moranis, he had to be tiny as fuck. Then he had to get normal size. Then he got really fucking big. Or maybe that was just his baby.
His baby,
It's the things that actors had to do with their bodies in the 80s.
Right. Yeah, like Martin Short got shrinked inside of a blood cell, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Eddie Murphy had to go inside Pluto or whatever. anyways, which song?
It's the first song.
It's the first Nowhere Fast.
Oh my God, this is I put this on first because like this is just
yes.
The whole soundtrack too is just like it's incredible. It's all original songs, all specifically for this movie.
Yeah, I was struggling here because this song, I was going through, you know, I've lost a lot of blood. My brain is fucked up. But I was listening to the soundtrack and I was like, man, I've been listening to this for a while. I must be a few songs in and I realized I was still on the first song.
Oh, yeah. It's a little long.
This one's like over 6 minutes. I'm going to skip forward. This is Nowhere Fast from Fire, Inc.
That song doesn't want to make you punch somebody in the face. I don't like. It's just like, and it's Diane Keaton who's in the movie who's singing that song. and she's gorgeous in it. And it's just like, you're just like, I'm ready. It's the first song they play too, I think, in the movie. And you're like, I'm ready to fucking go right now. Like, let's fucking do this.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, I do want to know, we don't like to talk about women's looks on this show, uh-huh. but no.
We talk about men and the various sizes they shrink to.
That's true. And that's all. I heard he had shrinkage in that movie.
So William Dafoe is quoted, this is from another podcast I listened to, but like somebody was said that he was in another movie and he's supposed to show his dick, mm-hmm. but it was the director said they had to do a stunt penis because sure. William Dafoe's penis was confusingly large.
Oh,
it was so big.
God, I love when I hear that.
What a great term.
Confusingly
large. Your dick is confusingly large. That's like that hurts, I think.
You know, like if you sent a dick pic and then somebody just sent the swirly eyes emoji back.
Pissed me off about his ass. William Dafoe.
What's that?
His name is William. He changed it.
Are you serious?
Doesn't that make you mad?
That does kind of piss me off. Yeah. That's like if Brendan Fraser's real name was Brendan Fraser.
Exactly.
That would piss me
off. Yeah,
the
he was
off.
Born William J. Dafoe.
He made it harder?
And he made it.
Why?
Yeah, that pisses me off.
I love the guy, too. He's so good. Except for in that Spider-Man franchise. He's a real piece of
He's
shit.
He's a real
though.
Piece of shit in that.
Bad guy.
Not good. He's also not good in Speed 2. He's a real mean guy.
Oh, I forgot he was in Speed 2.
Yeah.
What a bold move on the behalf of the writers of the film, the Speed franchise, to say, let's keep Sandra Bullock and not Keanu Reeves in this franchise.
They wrote it for Keanu Reeves, and then he was like, no. And then they're like, oh, okay, we'll just somehow write in Jason Patrick into this.
And yeah. We'll make it to where the bus driver is the one who is the character that we care about.
Yeah. I love
like Keanu Reeves was clearly the interesting character. He's a bomb diffuser. That's insane.
It's crazy.
That movie is so goddamn good.
The first
Speed.
Or second?
Oh, the first one, of course.
The first
one's the
great.
Second one's dog shit.
Oh, so bad.
I saw it in theaters.
Me too, yeah.
Because I loved the first one so much.
It was so good.
We watched it in one of my classes. I'm from Indiana. This is how this is the curriculum they have. Yeah. In my American history class, they showed us Speed.
This shit happened.
I love, you know, like all the heroes have like that fun line after they kill somebody. I loved when what's his face gets his head ripped off.
Yes.
He goes, yeah, well, I'm taller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah, when Dennis Hopper's head gets chopped off.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I'm taller.
Spoiler alert, we won't tell you who wins between Dennis Hopper and the other. Yeah. It is true that he gets his head chopped off.
So, to talk about 80s movies, Dennis Hopper isn't a great movie. I was trying to find a good song from the soundtrack, but I didn't. But it's called My Science Project,
mm-hmm.
and he plays a science teacher, and basically these kids find like a some alien thing, and they bring it in for their science project, and then Dennis Hopper plugs it into the wall to try to make it work, and then it creates this dimension, and then they have to fight a T-Rex in the gymnasium.
Like, thank God that's where movie. The dinosaur went, because that's probably the only room big enough to hold.
It's the only one, yeah. It's the only one big enough, yeah.
It does make you wish, you know, because now every, even horror and sci-fi movies are all like about trauma, you know? And it's like, what about shit where there's a T-Rex in a school?
Yeah, are you trying to get us an A on a test?
Yeah. Yes, we need something dumb like that. Sorry, Antonio was, you gotta make. Everything sounded okay up there. Yeah, I have headphones in, so it's okay, good. That scared me. Anyways, let's hear another song. What do you say? I don't know. So you weren't able to find the T-Rex song, right?
No. No, I think the second song is good because like a huge movie for me growing up, I wasn't really into cartoons, but Transformers was like, Transformers the movie was big. And this song is the one song I think everybody kind of recognize, but they think it's from Boogie Nights because Mark Wahlberg sings this when he's like trying to be a singer.
Yes,
that's he's like, oh, I wrote this, I sang it. That's why everybody knows the song. But really, it's from Transformers,
that's
and that soundtrack
crazy.
To Transformers, the cartoon movie, is like fucking incredible. Like
that's
all
wild. I did not know that.
Yeah, So I'll everyone's like, oh, I know a song from Boogie Nights. I think like, nope, it's from Transformers from the 80s.
All right, let's hear The Touch by Stan Bush.
You got the touch.
Yeah. Oh, man, yes.
You got the touch.
This is like, we can't afford Van Halen, so we'll get somebody else. I mean, it just makes you want to go conquer something, right?
Go yeah. what?
What makes that? Me want to conquer something? Like, oh, makes me want to yeah. do something. Like that makes me want to go work out.
It's such yeah. a perfect scene in, but I knew it from Boogie Nights, but yeah. I'd also heard that it wasn't part. But it is such a perfect song for for them to
oh,
do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's just like a perfect. Like I love that they didn't
that
make
character.
Up a word. Like the fact they use a real song, didn't just make up a stupider yeah. sounding because
yeah.
it sounds stupid enough
yeah.
being a real song. I don't know. It's just a perfect choice.
Do you remember that scene in Boogie Nights?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I just rewatched it recently. Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too.
For the first
yeah.
time. So, actually, that was maybe 3 years ago. Now that I think about it, when we went to see
we
it in
saw
theaters.
It in theaters, which is awesome.
Awesome.
I think it's my
they
favorite
re-released
movie.
In theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like at a local like.
Oh, fun.
They did every Paul Thomas Anderson movie because Phantom Thread was coming out.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
It was very cool. It was the first time I'd ever seen it.
How'd you feel?
I had to see it in theaters. I really liked it. It was, it's a long film, but
it's a
it
long
was,
film.
And it takes you through a lot of stuff.
It
but
really does.
I enjoyed it a lot. They also, we've talked about this on the show before, but they talked about. They didn't talk. They showed the PTA Haim.
Yes.
I would say this
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah.
Haim or Haim videos, and it made me love that band, like that group, because
oh.
they look so fucking cool.
Yeah.
In it, the way they perform it, because it's so, it shows them in a studio recording three songs or like just playing three songs together, and
oh,
it
wow.
looks so goddamn cool that I go back and watch that all the time.
I think Haim was someone I wanted to bring up earlier because I think there is a wave of like current indie or pop artists that are trying to bring back the big 80s sound.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
they're definitely
Haim
one of them.
One,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
But yeah, if you haven't seen that video, I think we've talked about it on the show before, but definitely worth checking out. It gets me hyped the fuck up.
Yeah. Well, I like that they're bringing that back and they're bringing back like soul, like Motown. But it's all like white artists, which is weird. But like,
yeah,
which is it's all white.
Which is
it's
really,
literally, it's all white artists.
Which is
and
really
you're like,
cool.
oh, this is like a really cool black guy singing. You're like, nope, this is a fat white guy. This is insane. Yeah, from like fucking Missouri. You're like, all right, okay. It seems like I shouldn't like it like this, but I love the song. It's pretty good. Like St. Paul and the Broken
yeah,
Bones.
That's
yeah, that's the first
yeah,
one. Yeah,
yeah.
You're like this guy from Weezer singing this song. Looks like a Weezer guy. Yeah.
We should take a quick break. I got to make sure this saves. We'll be right back with more Stand By Your Band 80s Soundtrack Edition. We're back with more Stand By Your Band 80s Soundtrack Edition.
Empire.
I don't know why I said it that way the first time.
We
definitely
love
don't know
the
why.
80s.
That's right. That is true. Let's get the Sklar Brothers in here. They were talking heads on that, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Feels like it.
There's so many people. They look so young.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very weird to see like Sherrod Small in there now.
Well,
like,
it's insane. Like, I came for some reason. So my girlfriend's like a big fucking bro, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's like a finance person. So she's like, if we watch something kind of scary, she's like, I gotta calm down. She like watches Entourage. I'm like, what the fuck? You are Queens Boulevard. What is going on here? I call her Queens Boulevard. But like, I came when she was watching Bro Code. You remember Bro Code?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? But then like Mateo's on it, and it was so scrawny. And like, Chris Stefano was like such a, like a little child. It's like insane.
Guy Code.
Not Bro Code.
I was getting it mixed up with like Mansers or something. But I was
It was insane seeing all like how young everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is wild that Mateo was on that. We gotta get old Mateo back in here before I leave.
I remember the first time
he was wearing a backwards. When he's always wearing the backwards hat.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
a cute little boy.
So skinny.
Before he came out.
When he's just like, I love pussy.
I remember when I first visited New York. Someone asked what I was doing in town. I was like, oh, I'm here to be on Girl Code. And they're like, oh, cool. Because I didn't realize that like guys were also on
Girl
Code. Like, oh, great.
Yeah, there's a bunch of crossover. That's so funny.
I was just trying to say something stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great for you. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Really fast, I think we should do, before we play more of these classics that Jonah's gotten for us, I want to see, Tommy, when you first heard we were talking 80s soundtrack songs, what popped right into the old head? What were your first thoughts on? I mean, I know you said Top Gun already, but what else popped in there? What's his name, the director you were talking about? But what are some of your
John
faves?
Hughes?
Yeah, John Hughes. What are some of your faves?
I mean, I definitely thought about this old John.
I love hearing a good John. Oh, here we go.
Great song. Yeah. 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 That whole soundtrack's incredible.
We lost a little bit of audio there, but that's all right. Jonah was just saying that that whole soundtrack was incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. Like some of the soundtracks, like every song is just a banger. Mm-hmm. Like that. The Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
And the peanut guy, someone pointed out, Let's Hear It for the Boy from Footloose.
Yeah.
A lot of, but I, when you were asking me what I thought, I realized, so over the pandemic, I watched all three Back to the Future movies because I'd never seen them before, ever.
Seriously?
No, I'd never seen them.
Oh, wow. How was that for you at the age that you're at?
I loved them. Okay. And I was, it made me kind of sad that I didn't watch them when I was a kid or don't remember. Like maybe I watched them when I was too young to remember. Yeah. But I really, they're so good. They really
they're so good.
Up. Yeah.
You know what I don't get in the first movie is that like, Marty McFly comes back, right? He looks the way he looks. And then, but he met his parents early on, but his dad never questions why his son looks exactly like the
some guy.
The guy that his wife was obsessed with before him.
Yeah, that's right. Funny.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let's have a kid. They have a kid, and he's like, yeah, he looks exactly like that guy. Also, we named him after him.
Right.
Like, why is this? How are you not? How do you not been like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, did they think his name was Calvin Klein though in the past?
No, because he went by Marty, and at the end, she goes, Marty, I like that name.
That's
then,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's just like, oh, yeah, you should name our kid after the person you're obsessed with before
really
me.
Funny.
Yeah, so I always get reminded of the person you love. That was
like,
secondary.
I mean, Adam Levine like just did that.
That's
in real
true.
Life.
That's good that is a good point. Yeah, maybe he got that from Back to the Future.
It is realistic.
Yeah,
on the movie show, we did a sketch that was about her being like obsessed with it's the husband and wife in bed, and they're talking about how it's weird that they have a son who's like hanging out with an old scientist all the time. They're like, this feels weird. And then she starts being like, well, you know, obviously like people probably want to fuck him. I mean, he's a really hot kid. Yeah. Like, she's still into it. And then the husband's like, wait, hold on. What? No, I don't know about all that.
Brendan McGowan used to have a great joke about how the balls of Biff to be like, hey, sorry about the whole raping your wife thing, but like, I'm trying to start this waxing car business.
I
really apologize about the raping your wife thing, but like, I really need. And then he still doesn't do the second coat. Like, he's still like, oh, come on, man, what do you expect? I raped your wife. Like,
but yeah, really quick, just from that movie, because this is an iconic 80s song. That
is this the one you have pulled up?
Yes,
I had that pulled up before you said it. I love it.
It just makes you so happy. All these songs are just happy songs.
Hell yeah.
That's so good.
That's the one I had pulled
You forget
up.
That that's like one of the biggest bands of that year. Yeah. Like or around that time. It's insane.
Oh yeah, because Ghostbusters too, right?
He was supposed
to
do Ghostbusters. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
There was that's why he did this. That's why he did
the Ray Parker Jr. and there was like a lawsuit about it, right?
Yeah.
It was like
yeah.
a big thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he was just like, all right. And then Back to the Future was like, do you want to do ours? And he's like, I am. Missed out on that Ghostbuster money. Hell
yeah.
He's like, I'll give you two. I'll give you this and Back in Time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 And then ZZ Top was like, part three for us, please? Did three still hold up for you? I guess didn't still, but
it was
three,
Jamie's favorite. But yeah.
I haven't watched three since I was a kid. I kind of
remember loving
give
two.
It a
like, two to me was like, incredible.
One is still my favorite. And then I liked two, but two was a little too, like, two and three just got very big, like very broad. It felt like, I don't know, the whole Biff turning into Trump was pretty crazy.
It was amazing. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I need to give that a rewatch, actually, too. I love the first one so much. The other song, because I had that one queued up, and then the other one for me is, of course, the old Breakfast Club song.
You gotta throw the fist up.
So good.
But that's the thing. It's like you have these big movies, right? But then you also have like, I don't know if you're gonna like it, but the third song I have on there, that's from Running Man, which is this Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, which is kind of incredible. Like, because it's about dystopian future where like they kill people on a reality TV show type thing, mm-hmm. right? And that actually is one of the best lines ever. Is Richard Dawson's in it from Family Feud? Mm-hmm. He's incredible in it, and he's gonna send Schwarzenegger out to fight these people, and then Schwarzenegger goes, "Hey, Killian." He goes, "What's that?" And he goes, "I'll be back." And then Killian responds, goes, "Only in a rerun," and then sends him out because he's gonna die, you know. And yeah, I was like, "Fuck, that's the best line back ever." But then it's this crazy like action movie. And then it ends, and then all of a sudden this song plays.
Is this Restless Heart?
Yeah, the third one on there?
Yeah.
It's a fucking good song, though. But I've just seen a bunch of people murdered. They play this song.
Oh, yeah. I just like it. It's the most 80s voice.
I know. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That'll fire you up. Let's get. That would have fired me up.
Does that make you want to kiss somebody?
Yeah, dude.
Like hug somebody, walk off in the sunset with them?
If they probably made that movie today, they'd call it Peloton, man.
Thank you.
Oh, fucking throwing
thank you.
Here.
When's there going to be a Running Woman?
They should be. Have you ever seen Running Man?
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, let's stop the podcast and watch it. The rest of the podcast is just our reactions to it.
We'll be right back.
It's the one of the best. It's the best Schwarzenegger movie.
Welcome back to the rewatch.
Welcome back. Movie sucked. Movie trash.
Am I not on the rewatchables? I thought I was on the rewatchables.
I think I mentioned this years ago on the podcast, but a lot of the 80s stuff I like got with 90s or 2000s people making fun of it is how I was introduced to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like stuff like Huey Lewis. It's like the first thing I think of with Huey Lewis is American Psycho. Him talking about Huey Lewis and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So it's just weird. Or like South Park doing songs like this as a joke. You know?
Yes.
So it's just interesting. Yeah, to hear it like on its own.
Mm-hmm. What's kind of, it's like my girlfriend's parents were like picking the Yacht Rock and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like my parents, like my mom was into like Tears for Fears and
I almost played Tears for Fears because I was like, but I can't remember what movie I know, but I know like the thing that
Everyone Wants to Rule the World was on
Everyone Wants to, but I couldn't remember what it was from, and I learned the first time I heard that song was on the opening to the Dennis Miller
I love that
TV
show.
I loved it, but most of what I loved about it was that song. My stepdad would watch it, I was like, oh fuck yeah, that
and
opening
the big picture,
song
remember
rules.
The big picture at the end,
yeah,
do the, it was like, let's go to the big screen, it's like a 32 inch screen, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Man, that was when
squinting to see that thing,
man, and he's still one of the greatest comedians to ever, no I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Remember when he said he was going to roast, he was going to come up with a roast for Michelle Wolf in 3 days, and then he never did?
No, I didn't know about that.
Dude, so the State of the Union or whatever, what do they call that? Not the State of the Union. Fuck. When they have a comedian come in and roast like the press and stuff.
I know, I can't remember what it's called. Everyone's yelling at us right now. Something dinner. But,
the Correspondence Dinner?
Yeah, Correspondence Dinner.
That's it. So Michelle Wolf did it, and she made fun of Republicans or whatever. And she
got
she went after, was it Liz Cheney? Who did she go after?
No,
it was somebody's daughter. Yeah. McCain, I think. I can't remember. She said that their eyeshadow, a smoky eye or whatever. She made a smoky eye joke, and it was about like being, you know, a liar or whatever. And everybody was mad about it. And then Dennis Miller on Twitter said that he came at her hard and said that he was going to, in
like,
3 days' time.
Come. I can't do it, Dennis.
In 3 days' time,
trying to do it.
He was going to have the most brutal roast joke of all time about Michelle Wolf. And then he just never followed up.
It's one of the incredible. Greatest.
I got to find that tweet.
Just you wait.
That's a guy, you kind of forget how big he was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, that was like my dad being like, this is the good Saturday Night Live. Yeah. With Dennis Miller. Yeah, it was all like the Miller stuff.
And
yeah.
They put him on fucking Monday Night Football. Like,
did they really?
Yes.
Oh, they did. Yeah. That's right. Holy shit, I forgot about that.
Okay, this guy's going down the line. Okay, big word here.
Can you imagine if they just put like Tim Dillon on Monday Night Football right now? They're all just like, okay, like,
yeah, right. Those makes sense.
Yeah, right.
That is so funny. Yeah. I'm just seeing people making fun of the tweet, but I don't. He might have deleted the original because it was it's so good. Yeah, but he said he needed 3 days.
That is amazing.
And too, like, so they did be like, okay, in 3 days I'm gonna do this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And then yeah, oh, he said he had brutally mean jokes and then never did it. God damn it, it's pissing me off. That I hate when you look one of these things up and then all of the articles are about it are like slideshows.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, this is what it was, and then they don't show you the fucking actual tweet.
I hate when like people like in your childhood you kind of look up to turn into that.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like fucking Dennis Miller, hell yeah. And then you're like, oh no. Why would you do this? You were in Bordello of Blood.
Yeah. It's Tales too bad.
The Crypt Bordello. No? No takers on that?
I don't know that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Deep cut? You're in The Net?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. We know The Net.
There we go. We know The Net.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody find that tweet. I'm sure you'll have a good time. Yep, it's been deleted. That explains it. Anyways, let's hear some more music. Enough about Dennis Miller and his bullshit. Should we hear Hearts on Fire from Rocky IV?
So that's one that I was on your thread a lot, was talking about Rocky IV. And this is like, this is during, I think this is the better montage song than the other one.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Why am I forgetting what the other one is?
I don't.
I had the Tiger.
I had the Tiger, yeah. Although, man.
Which everybody thinks
it's
in the first Rocky, but it's not. It came out, I think it was in the second Rocky, I had the Tiger.
Is that right?
Yeah. I know it's not in the first one. It's the same thing like when people think of Jason with the mask, and like that didn't happen until the third.
Is that true?
One. Yeah, well, Jason didn't come out to the second. It was his mom, the first one. I can say that because they'd say that in Scream.
Yeah.
So it's not a spoiler alert.
It is spooky season.
It is spooky season. We gotta plan our Halloween episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It might be a Zoom thing. I've talked about what I wanted to do before. Yeah. I'm gonna reach out to the guy.
Love it. All right. Let's listen.
Are you gonna John Carpenter on?
No, I want to talk about John Carpenter.
Have you heard his fucking hit? Dude, he makes bangers too. Yeah. I had that originally on there, but it didn't have any words to it.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the soundtrack to Big Trouble Little China, it's fucking incredible.
So I watched every John Carpenter movie this year.
Really? What stood out?
I mean, I really enjoyed them all. But so I wanted to talk about his scores for Halloween episode just because I think they're so fucking sick.
They're so fucking good. And it's one of those things where like you hear it, you know exactly. That's a John Carpenter score.
For sure.
Yeah.
I watched Vampires. I haven't seen Vampires in forever.
Yeah.
I forgot that movie's actually pretty funny. It was great. Yeah.
It's definitely, it's in his lesser appreciated works. True. Say, but
Yeah, I think for Halloween, we're either going to do that, or I've heard of this band, The Feelers, that are pretty scary. Inside joke.
No, okay.
Anyways, let's go ahead and hear Hearts on Fire.
This makes me want to jump out the window. Because I feel like a fly. Don't take that.
Don't do it, Jonah. That's how I hurt my hand.
Some people are like, oh, fucking 80s bullshit. All the sound. What are you talking about? Like, these are incredible songs.
Yeah.
I have them caught to my head. They caught my head all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's good. I agree. I am going to push back on the Eye of the Tiger, though. Oh, I think that as far as a montage, you hate Eye of the Tiger?
I mean, no, I don't hate it.
This is good, but Eye of the Tiger is iconic for a reason. I think I'll listen to that sometimes and be like, oh, I want to fucking run up some stairs and have a good time. I'll do that in Philly sometimes. I don't even know if that's part of that montage or not. It's been a while since I've watched Rocky, but
I think it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's very fun. Did you watch Hustle?
No, is it good?
Hustle's great.
I loved Hustle, and it has very much like tip of the cap to Rocky montages.
Yeah, really?
But it's truly the longest montage. It's like
the
a 9 minute
montage.
Yeah, it truly is, but it's fun. Like,
oh, really?
It fires you up, but it's like a 9 minute montage.
The Creed 2 workout montage.
Oh, I haven't seen Creed 2 yet. Oh, I've only seen Creed 1.
It's the stupidest idea for a movie that's so good.
Yeah.
It's
I need to watch that. I loved the first one. I love Michael B. Jordan.
He's great.
Yeah.
And dude, like, I was so upset that Sylvester Stallone got snubbed for Academy Award for the first one. Dude, I cried. He made me cry. I was watching the plane. I started crying. And people were like, "Are you watching Creed?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm watching Creed." It's amazing.
That was one of those movies where the way people reacted. It was like a real thing that was happening in the crowd. People were cheering as if like someone had really just won something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes a shitty actor just needs a good director. You know? Have you ever seen JCVD? The movie JCVD?
No.
Oh my God. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I didn't know there was a movie.
Called JCVD. Yeah. Where Jean-Claude Van Damme like goes into a bank and then there's like a bank heist and they think it's him.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene. There's a scene where he just goes straight and he looks straight down the barrel of the camera. And he goes from speaking whatever his normal language is to English, and the camera lifts off through the you see the scenery behind him, and he just talks straight in the barrel. And he's basically like, "I'm not who you think I am. Like all you think is I am this person, and I'm not." And he like almost cries, and you're just like, "Oh my God, this is wow, like Jean-Claude Van Damme, hell yeah, dude, hell yeah, brother." And he's funny. Yeah, you ever see Jean-Claude Van Damme or Van Johnson?
No,
it's an Amazon series when they first started doing series. Yeah. And he's in it, and it basically plays himself, but really he's a spy and he's just an actor, so he can go to different countries to do spy shit.
That's a good setup.
Yeah, but the whole time is he's just like basically being like, "Hey man, sudden death is pretty cool, right?" Like other people.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's like amazing. I gotta see. That sounds great.
Yeah,
I mean, he was incredible in Friends. The chemistry him and Gunther had was nuts.
I don't remember that.
He was in Friends in both Monica and Jennifer. What's her name?
Rachel?
Yeah.
You got her haircut.
Yeah. You not know it, yeah.
I was hoping you'd notice. but they're fighting over dating Jonathan.
I would. That guy's gorgeous. That is a fucking hunk of meat right there.
Yeah. Hot guy. All right, we're deep into this one. We should go to the peanut gallery pretty soon. Let's play one more from this. We have three more from your thing.
I'd say can we play the Stirred Up, because that song makes me the happiest. Yeah, song.
This is Stirred Up from Patti LaBelle.
Beverly Hills Cop deep cut. This song makes me happy. Are you happier? Just a happy song. Yeah, it's just a happy song.
That is very fun.
And it just sucks that like they just don't do that anymore. Like, you know, like so Queen did a whole soundtrack for Highlander.
Oh shit, I didn't know.
Yeah, that was originally on that. And it's like their songs are incredible. It's all just on the movie. That's it. You know who did it lately in the odds was Daft Punk for...
Yes, we just talked about this. Yeah. For Tron.
Yeah, Tron. Tron Legacy. That soundtrack is like, fuck, that's a good soundtrack.
We were just talking about this because we did a appreciation of Daft Punk episode that was very fun a few weeks ago. Great.
I want to be introduced to like, if I ever get like married, or it's just like The Grid. just come out there to that song.
The first VR wedding. That song. They've done them before.
I'm getting married in the metaverse.
Get left at the altar in the metaverse.
Have you ever?
That is the place to do it.
Maybe worse because she's still just next to you, but she's just hitting the controller to like leave. You're like, "You're next to me."
Have you ever
done that in Oculus?
No, I never have.
Okay, so I lived. I don't know if you had Blake Burkhardt on here, but it was a comedian in Chicago.
Have we had Blake? I actually don't know.
We lived together for a little bit, and then he was like, "Hey, I'm going for the house. I'm going to Oculus." I was like, "Don't do that. That's stupid. Whatever." And I got really drunk the next day. I was like, "I'm going to buy an Oculus." And then I bought an Oculus, and he's like, "Fuck you, dude." But like, there is this thing. It's you're like 10 stories up or however many stories up, and it's all you do is walk the plank, and you're walking the plank, right? And you're like, you're up there, and it's scary as shit. But what I found out is even more fun. I did it to Nate Burrows, who's also a comedian that we know from Chicago. Is what's more fun is when they're kind of freaking out, you push them. And like I've pushed so many people. You have to guide them to the ground because they freak the fuck out. Like when you push them off the ledge, because when you fall off the ledge, you literally fall off the ledge in the game. Yeah. And we did it to one of Blake's friends. He was drunk and high, and he was over.
Oh, no.
And we were like, hey, walk the plank. And he did. And then Blake was like, should I push him? And I was like, yeah, push him. And he pushes him. And then for some reason, this guy had death wish. He like swan dived like off, but like he forgot that like there was a floor.
Yeah.
That had, like a concrete floor. And he had, I mean, like almost broke his nose. He broke the Oculus.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Everything broke. And he was like, I mean, he's bleeding. And I was like, who swan dives? Like, swan. Like,
oh, my God.
You know, you see something kind of slowly happen, you're like, that's not going to be good.
How do you not have the video? You would be on so viral for that.
I know. Yeah. So that kind of ended the whole, wasn't it funny to push people off the plank?
Oh, my God.
Now just for porn.
Yeah, now just for porn.
It probably is pretty cool for that, huh?
The porn? I know, like, again, I guess not to mention my girlfriend, but I guess she has a friend whose husband's like addict, like is like always like locked into porn, like VR porn.
Locked.
His name is Madi Tacnamara.
It rhymes with that, yeah. Madi, take off your headset already. Jesus Christ. But he always does a female POV where you're like, what the fuck are you getting fucked?
What is the, I was gonna do another inside thing. Like, why are you riding a horse in this one? Stand by your band. It's horses now. All right, we have to get to the people who listen to the show. They have thoughts on whatever we're talking about too, and they demand to be heard.
I will say, can I say this right away? Cause this is a beef I have with you guys in this podcast.
Oh shit! Okay,
I have beef. Fuck. You guys did Kanye West. You guys did Kanye West, and I messaged both of you privately saying, "Hey, there is this live thing where he goes, amazing, where he does like the amazing storytellers." And he goes, Michael Jackson, amazing. Everyone claps. And he goes, Michael Phelps, amazing. And then half the people clap. And then he goes, O.J. Simpson, amazing. And then nobody claps. And he goes, come on, y'all. What he did when he did was pretty amazing, right? And you guys played that. And both of you referred to me as just a friend.
Okay, we're back.
So what happened was we found out the Queen died.
Yes.
We had to take a moment.
We had to stop. No, what happened was Jonah brought this issue up, and he got so angry he threw the computer across the room.
Did you catch up the Jonah, do you have a knife? Was that on there?
No.
Okay. No. That'd been funny. Jonah, why do you have a knife? And then just cuts.
I know. Would have been great.
Oh, if we did Sopranos
and then it's me on the podcast being I'm taking over now.
And then never another episode of Stand By Your Band.
That would be, oh my God.
And we delete both of our social Twitter, medias.
Yeah. Then I get arrested.
And then cut to us in the Bahamas.
The Bahamas. Yeah.
Sipping on
why would we have money?
Living off that final podcast money.
It's crazy that they took out all that podcasters insurance money right before that episode. That big policy that they
cut
have.
To us cheers in a damn coconut cocktail.
Now I'm glad it crashed. This is good. This is better.
That's how I feel about the Dow.
Wait, what the fuck?
We're rooting for the Dow to come back, baby. Okay, well, we're sorry that we didn't mention your name last time, Jonah.
It's fine. It's not a big deal.
You're on the show now, getting your credit, getting your flowers. It was a great chair, and
but I would just to go back to that. I would anybody listening. Go watch the Kanye West Storytellers. Mm-hmm. He does an incredible performance, but the things he says in between is just the best.
Yes. All right, let's get to the people who listen to the show, and specifically the people who pay to listen to this show.
Oh, you're going
to
say their names?
We will be. That's one of the benefits about being on the Patreon.
Oh, I see.
For a measly $3 a month.
Do you ever listen to, to Friends on podcasts, and you're like, okay, I was in that story. You fucking say my name. And you're just like, why are you not saying my name?
Uh-huh,
I was there.
That does happen. All right, L. Wilson, says, my dad loved the Batman soundtrack Prince did in 89, so it was often played playing during our trips to the grocery store in the early 90s. I didn't understand sex, but I definitely understood this soundtrack was too sexy for me. This album does slap, though.
So good. I mean, like, he has that, and there's Purple Rain, and then Graffiti Bridge. There's all incredible soundtracks.
It's hard to think of Purple Rain. Like, when I was looking at best, like, 80s soundtrack list, Purple Rain's on there, and it just feels like such its own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right? Like, yeah. True. Yeah, like, like they made the movie off of the album, but it's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Feels like that.
But
yeah.
It's just like, oh, no, that's like a real master, you know? That's yeah. Like, it's like disconnected from 80s soundtracks. Yeah. Right? Just because it's, great. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how some of those 80s, because I was looking up that too, you know, when you guys finally agreed to be on the podcast after I gave you all that money.
Yeah, you made us walk the plane.
Yeah, you walk the plane.
Have me on your podcast, Rolls.
But it's crazy how some artists, like, their best songs are on the soundtrack, so then they had to re-release the songs on an album mm-hmm. so they could get it on an actual album.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That is wild.
That is wild.
Next comment here is from Fiona Hart 2, says, the soundtrack to Fast Times at Ridgemont High is a pretty good collection of different genres.
Dude, banger.
Bangers.
The song when Phoebe Cates takes her boobies out was
I was only allowed to watch the Christian version of that movie where they edit a nun's outfit onto her in that scene.
Where she takes it off and just more outfit
more on. Clothes yeah. Come on. More yes. Clothes come on.
Instead of the pizza, they get vegetables delivered.
The next comment is from Nick C, who says, as you walk on by, will you comb my mane?
Very good.
As
very
a
good.
Reference to Tommy's horse addiction. Next comment is from Ron Trimbath, who says, who can forget hearing Dwight Yoakam and Aretha Franklin in the Molly Ringwald vehicle Fresh Horses? My guess, not Tommy. Yeah.
I've not heard of Fresh
Winky
Horses
face.
Yet.
He likes his horses ridden.
So when you think of Wild Horses, what movie comes to mind? Does that come to mind? This is a 90s thing.
Yeah. That's a good question. Wow. This is a question for you.
I mean, I love that song. Yeah. What movie is it?
So when Mark Wahlberg fingers...
Oh, yeah. And Reese Witherspoon. Fear was the name
Fear.
Of the movie.
I never
yeah.
saw Fear.
I haven't seen it either. I've heard
Watch
the
Fear. It is really? One of the. It's legitimately. I don't think I mean this ironically. It's one of my favorite movies of
oh,
all
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
fucking love that movie.
Yeah, check that out.
All right. Let's. Did we get anything on the Twitter?
Just two on the Twitter. We got a friend of the show, Brian Breslaw, said 5 soundtrack songs that made the movie go from good to great. Walking on Sunshine. Yeah. Don't You Forget About Me. Ooh yeah, chicka chicka,
yep.
Which is the official oh, yeah, title. Yeah. Power of Love chicka-chicka. And Eye of the Tiger. So some ones we talked about, but a great list.
That is like such a needle drop in these, like where it's like, whoa, this is a good movie now.
Yeah,
or, yeah, he's 100% right about that.
Yeah.
And then H. Lee said, "Let's hear it for the boy from Footloose."
Love it.
With the chef's kiss emoji.
On the Facebook, Garrett Elzinga says, "I'm such a sucker for Footloose. Kenny Loggins is king." Alex,
he has a song on Over the Top.
Oh,
Meet Me Halfway.
Yeah.
That was on the list too.
So that's,
dude,
fucking
love
that's the arm wrestling movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to watch that again. It's been
I
a
never
long
watched
time.
That one either,
yeah. Very funny.
It's silly.
Oh, didn't you watch
Insane
on the roof
premise. I don't know. No, we watched Roadhouse on the
oh,
roof.
Okay. I like connections
so
too.
Roadhouse
those
is great.
In my head. Yeah.
Roadhouse is truly fucking great.
It's, really
it's
great.
So funny.
This is in the 90s, but I rewatched Assassins a week ago mm-hmm. with Sylvester Stallone and Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
That movie is incredible.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, my God.
I've heard of it. Alex Price says, every artist on the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack sounds like, or was paid in cocaine, and you can't convince me otherwise. let's see here. Jeffrey McDonald says, there's no topping the Repo Man soundtrack.
A
time capsule of LA punk at the time, one of the only places an imprint recording of the Plugs can be found, and a killer theme by Iggy Pop. And
that's a fucking dork.
Linked it.
Okay, I'm kidding. Okay.
And you've heard my erotic fan fiction, there's no topping the Repo Man.
That's true, yes.
You wrote that?
Yep. It's about a bunch of people that. Trying to get copies. Top of the Repo Man and him being like, no, no, no. It's so erotic. A guy not getting it. Reed Sedgwick says, less known, most favorite, Dogs in Space, underground. It's from 86. It says, underground Australian punk featuring Michael Hutchins in starring role with musical input on the soundtrack, plus Iggy Pop. Molly Ringwald influenced Pretty in Pink was pretty awesome, but one I love is the Lost Boys soundtrack with Jimmy Barnes and the NXS collab Good Times, which I still can't
Dude,
help but love.
Lost Boys was on there, that list, too.
Oh, yeah. Lost Boys rules.
It was so good. And that's that song, the main song on there. Oh, shout out, whatever. Like, it's good. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I forget. Oh, yeah. Well, Pretty in Pink's gotten brought up a few times. And If You Leave by OMD is famously used in that song. And that song, I don't think of as a soundtrack song just because I love that song as a song. Yeah. But it's an incredible soundtrack song.
Yeah. But. Embarrassing enough, I think of that song because of OC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did a remake on OC. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody wrote, Brad Chester wrote, Pretty in Pink could count, but the movie title was inspired by the song, so it could go either way. But that movie also had If You Leave by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, which is my parents' song, so I love that soundtrack either way. Great song. Chris Condren says, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which is funny because it's like, well, it's not a movie, but it is kind of, it felt like a movie when you're playing it. But I do remember.
Is one it of Mas the Yayo on that?
I can't remember.
On Scarface? Soundtrack.
Probably.
Mas with the yayo. Mas with the yayo.
The song that I always think of from that is because that was the first Grand Theft Auto I really played, and I remember just having a good time driving around listening. And that song,
My Dad's
Tempted
Funeral,
by the Fruit of Another.
Oh,
or whatever.
Yeah. Squeeze.
Such a good song.
My Dad's Funeral, we just played Mas with the yayo.
That rules. Oh, yeah, Squeeze. We did that with Todd Berry, right?
Yeah.
Is that who Todd Berry did? Yeah, that was a good time. Let's go. Darren Jazz Rogers says Times Square, one of the best unknown 80s soundtracks. Interesting. Oh, wow. I don't know that. All right. I'll read two more here and then we got to wrap this up. Alex Schubert wrote me a little book, but it was fun. He says, earlier this year, I had restarted hanging out with this girl that I was on again, off again with, which, as we all know, is a highway to the danger zone. Her and I hung out for a few months regularly, but I kind of had a feeling the whole time she only hung out with me to get over her ex. A lot of these hangouts, which were date-esque, were her idea. One night, we went to go see the Top Gun movie, and we blasted Danger Zone all the way there. All her idea. After the movie, we were driving back to her place, which was when I decided to have the "What are we?" conversation.
Oh, no.
Turns out I was right the whole time, and she was never into me. Her and I are still on good terms, and Danger Zone still slaps. Thank you, brother.
I love it. It's a really sad story. Yes. Also, Danger Zone's a great song.
I love that. Last
See,
one.
You don't always want your name read on here.
No.
I just wanted to be noticed.
Last one is I'll read. Just from Sean Bear Flannery, friend of the show, says, the Rocky franchise, future guest. Rocky franchise to me is the best because its soundtrack reflects the changes to movies. You go from complex Oscar caliber work, Gonna Fly Now, Rocky 1 and 2, to a more simple but still fun effort, Eye of the Tiger, Rocky 3.
Rocky 3, says, okay, 3.
To a straight up cash grab that is a bad copy of the previous effort, Burning Heart is such a bad attempt to recreate Eye of the Tiger in Rocky 4.
There it is.
There it is.
My good friend Sean Flannery destroying me.
That is very funny that came up. I did not read that beforehand. That's great. All right. Well,
Sean doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
There you go. He'll be able to come on.
Also, buy his
himself.
Book, Places I Can't Return To.
Oh,
it's on Amazon.
Yeah,
it's very good book. Good book.
That, yeah.
Yes. All right. That is going to have to do it for this episode of the podcast. But, Jonah, thank you so much for coming. Do you have any final thoughts on 80s soundtracks here?
Stop shitting on them. They're great. they'll just make you happy.
Yeah.
I love it. Is there anything you'd like to plug on the way out of here?
No, you can listen to Sean and I have a podcast called The Blackout Diaries. You can listen to that. That's every
Hell
Tuesday
yeah.
it comes out. It's a and also the show's in Chicago every Friday, and then if you're free in New York or Chicago on Wednesdays, we have a show called Comedians You Should Know. Check out.
Hell yeah, show, dude. One of the best shows in the goddamn country. For real, for real. I will be in Poughkeepsie this Friday if you happen to be around. I'm also going to be in Winnipeg in Canada next week for all goddamn week. And then Houston, I'll be at the Riot. That is the 21st and 22nd of October. Oh, shit. Sorry.
You just lost some sales.
Yeah, sorry.
I like how you burped, but then you blew it back into the mic.
Yeah, well, that's my mic. Who cares? I'm doing my first album at Fort Collins in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
That is in November. That is the 11th and 12th. So please come out to that. I would love to see you. Tommy, what you got?
So I mentioned it last week, but I'll be taping a special January 12th at the Bell House in New York. Very excited about that. And a month before that, I'll be doing my Christmas show at Union Hall December 15th. Those tickets are on sale at Union Hall. And a month before that, I do it in reverse order. Me and Luke Moniz are doing our show, Boardwalk Comedy, for the New York Comedy Festival, November 13th, the Gutter. So those are the three big New York dates. There'll be other stuff in other cities, but those are the things I need to sell tickets to.
Hell yeah. That reminds me. Tim McLaughlin and I will be at Lincoln Lodge in Chicago November 2nd. So come out to that. Jonah, thanks so much for coming on,
oh,
man.
Thank you.
Great
guys.
To see you. Great hanging. You I'll never not say your name again. All right. We'll see
you about that.
We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.